All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. You text us at the same number. It's Monday. That means Mondays with Sandy Williams. And CJ, I guess, is still there. CJ, you were explaining something to him.
No, CJ was telling us how we couldn't afford in our country to have the government support child daycare or health care. And so I just wanted you to finish that thought, CJ.
Well, how many millions and billions of dollars? Who's paying for the legal open border that we have?
We're talking about the American-born citizens.
Yeah, CJ, but let's... I think it's interesting to point out we can't afford that. Can we afford $53 billion to Ukraine? Because we've just
we decided used that $85 billion we left behind in Afghanistan.
No, we decided...
All facts, Sandy. They're all facts. You can make them simplest.
Let's just talk about the incremental. Could we afford the $1 trillion that we spent in Afghanistan? Because we spent $1 trillion, and most of that was spent under.
We'll be back there. Yes, we could have afforded it.
CJ.
Of allies behind Sandy. CJ, and that's a fact.
Well, CJ, okay. Let's just talk about other facts. There are more facts than that to talk about. Let's talk about the $1 trillion we spent, and was that a worthwhile expenditure as compared to the health care and child daycare of the generation of people that was spent on or was not spent on? I mean, we spent a trillion. What were we saving them for? Were we saving freedom?
We should have stayed. We wouldn't have left famine, and now we got Al-Qaeda.
Wait, though. So you are placing a higher premium on the welfare of the Afghanis than you are on the welfare of Americans. And what is it about yes, you are. You are not critical of the fact that the American government spent $1 trillion over a 20-year period, which is how much is that a year?
Are you okay with leaving the $85 billion?
$85 billion of military equipment. I think that was a decision made by the military, quite frankly.
Air Force Base.
And
13 soldiers died from this idiot.
So you aren't willing to talk about the prioritization of expenditures. No. I want you to talk about the prioritization of American expenditures, comparing the $1 trillion spent over a 2-decade period in Afghanistan as compared to as compared to the inability you say of America to afford to pay for health care and child daycare for the newborn in America for their first 21 years. I mean, do you not put any premium or value or higher priority on the welfare of the American-born children for their first 21 years? Because we have...
No, your party would rather spend it on illegal aliens than an open border.
Listen, CJ.
In America first.
CJ.
You don't.
CJ, First off, you keep saying Sandy's party as if you know he's a member of the Democratic Party. You don't know that.
Are you?
No, I'm not.
I know, but you're assuming. That's the issue.
CJ supports this guy. You sure support the Democrat Party and their policies.
CJ.
When Trump left office, gas was a buck.
Hey, CJ, thank you very much for the call. Who do we have up next? So, Sandy, you know, how much can you pour into that?
Well, I just think that CJ's unwillingness to face the issue of how do we address the priorities in America and to slip back into a partisan discussion of you guys favoring, for instance, immigrants, that's like a deflection, right? That's deflecting the argument to some other issue rather than addressing directly the issue of how do we prioritize expenditures in America and what do we do about it? And I mean, the fact is, if we have 2 million immigrants in America who are here illegally, we do have 2 million human beings who might get sick on the street. I think months ago I asked CJ, what does he want to have done with the immigrant, the illegal immigrant in America who gets typhus and is very sick with something that could spread to the rest of Americans? What should we do with that person, that human being? Should we give them medical care, or should we let them die on the streets and begin a typhus epidemic?
But CJ is a prime example of what seems to be an insurmountable problem in this country, and that's the fact you guys, you Democrats,
right, or you Republicans.
And so that you can't get beyond. That seems to be something that's insurmountable, and because of that blockage, nothing else is going to ever get accomplished.
Well, that's why I think it's kind of fundamental to let's take a fact situation and just evaluate it. And a fact situation that I think makes lots of sense is the average family in America, the median family, or the, because the median family represents the something that is better than half of the other families in America. And let's look at that situation and see how government and the public should address fundamental values associated with that situation. And for me, the fundamental value is, are we addressing the needs of the children in that family? Because the adults in that family are somewhat in a position to deal with the world for themselves, but the children in that family didn't vote to become the children of that family, and the children of that family deserve an opportunity to participate in the American society and economy in a successful way.
So, Sandy, when we're looking at the youth of the society, and in this instance, what I want to talk about as we come back from break is inflation strikes twice for many retirees. A tax on Social Security earnings isn't indexed for inflation, and it's pulling in more older Americans. They're older Americans who are living in poverty, who have worked all of their lives, who have not been able to set aside resources, Sandy, through, in many instances, through no fault of their own. Either they worked in jobs that didn't afford them an opportunity to save enough money. The Social Security check that they get is meager. They weren't able to save resources. And yet they're still, in their latter years, are struggling to come to the end of their lives. And it doesn't benefit.
Although, let me just counter that by saying, is this the baby boomers saying, worry about us first?
I would say that we can worry about both. And we have to worry about both, because I don't...
Well, I mean, let me just quickly counter by saying, yes, I am concerned about the elderly and the situation they're in, but the elderly have Medicare.
That's true.
The elderly have Social Security. The elderly have those things. The next generations, the baby boomers, have made it almost impossible for the current 40-year-old to expect to have at least Social Security in an adequate way. So, you know, my heart does bleed for the poor and elderly today, but we have taken better care of the poor and elderly. The government is providing a higher portion of their needs than they are for the children who are 1 to 21 born into the median income.
Because we vote.
Well, baby boomers are a big voice, and we've demanded that we get a lot of attention paid to us. And I would simply say that yes, this is a concern, but I don't think it's necessarily a bigger concern than the concern we have for the young. The young are the future, and I hate to say this, but the elderly are not.
All right. Got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. I can't disagree with that. Got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back.